The title of her talk is Comparison of the Case-Finding Effectiveness of Partner Notification Services for Primary and Secondary versus Early Latent Syphilis Cases in North Carolina.
Thank you. Oh, wow, that's loud. So I want to first thank my co-authors on both the abstract and this presentation from our branch, Michael Hilton, Todd Van Hoen, Evelyn Faust, and Peter Leone. I will start off by saying that the reason that I did this analysis was twofold. One, you know, we all know that there's decreasing public health dollars, particularly when it comes to supporting the DIS. And we had gotten a suggestion from some of our federal partners that we look to prioritize follow-up partner notification services for primary and secondary cases rather than early latent, which we thought was an interesting suggestion, although in North Carolina we were pretty convinced that our follow-up of early latent cases was actually pretty important to our control of the epidemic, but we realized we hadn't done that analysis to actually show that, and so that's where this came from. All right. So in the next 9.5 minutes, I'm going to briefly go through the changes in our syphilis epidemic, touch on what our DIS or state mandated to do from a partner notification standpoint, and then I'll show you the head-to-head comparison of the case-finding effectiveness of primary and secondary versus early latent cases from 2010, 11, and 12. All right, so looking at this graph, if you look at the gender distribution of our early syphilis cases over the last decade, you can see back in the late 90s and early 2000s that it was more equitable between men and women, suggesting that at that time it was most likely a heterosexual epidemic. But as you can see over the last several years, that this has predominantly become a male epidemic in our state. And just looking among men, we've also seen a change in the age range of the most affected men with initially, kind of over in the early 2000s, 30 to 39-year-olds comprised the majority of men, whereas now we see that the 20 to 29-year-olds account for at least 50% of our early syphilis cases among men. We also see a significant racial disparity with 3/4 of our early syphilis cases among men being among African Americans. This disparity is even more pronounced in women, which I didn't show here, but approximately 90% or more of our early syphilis cases in women are among black women. And then, as we've heard throughout this conference, and you know, we've seen with CDC numbers, this is predominantly an MSM epidemic in our state. So 90% have reported being MSM, and of the 10% that are unknown, we think the majority of them are likely to be MSM as well. And then the last kind of demographic slide I want to show you is just our comorbid disease. So of primary and secondary and early latent cases, 45 to 50% of the men are co-infected with HIV, and that means at the time that their syphilis was diagnosed, they either had prevalent HIV or they were diagnosed with HIV within 6 months of the syphilis diagnosis. And this is drastically different from what we see in our women, which consistently has been about 5% or lower even before 2010. All right, so from a partner notification standpoint, North Carolina has 100 counties, 85 of them are rural. Our DIS are spread all over the state, and they're housed in 7 regional offices, and each regional office is responsible for a group of counties. And in those counties, they do syphilis and HIV follow-up of index cases, and their primary responsibilities there are to ensure those cases are linked to care and receive appropriate treatment, and then they elicit names of sexual contacts. From a syphilis standpoint, their partner notification activities are really focused on primary, secondary, and early latent, and then any congenital or pregnant woman of any stage. And for that, they notify of exposure, they ensure appropriate empiric treatment of the syphilis case by whatever stage. And then they also facilitate STD testing for other comorbid infections, HIV, gonorrhea, chlamydia, hep C, and STD exams. And I will say, because our state is rural and one of the biggest barriers that our clients have to getting into clinics is transportation, our DIS spend an inordinate amount of time driving patients to and from clinics to get their bicillin shot, to get their STD exam, and then waiting for them there while it happens, and then driving them back home afterwards. So when we talk about looking to make sure that we're utilizing our resources well, this was another reason. All right, so the analysis was actually pretty simple. We don't use STD-MIS anymore, but we did up until the end of 2012, so we were able to pull our partner services data for those years. We pulled our primary, secondary, and early latent index cases that had been assigned to the DIS during that time period. We also pulled the number of contacts that were elicited from those interviews of those index cases, and then from there, the number of contacts that were contactable, and of those, the number that were infected with early syphilis. And then we calculated the what we call the contact brought to treatment index. It's slightly different from the disease intervention index that we typically think of, because we really wanted to look at the number of contacts that were diagnosed with early syphilis per the number of index cases that had to be interviewed to get there. All right, so here's what we found. There were 1,083 index cases, primary and secondary syphilis, and compared to 961 early latent index cases. Elicited about the same number of contacts, 2516 versus 2500. And of the primary and secondary contacts, 74% were contactable compared to 77% for the early latent cases. Of the primary and secondary contacts, 30% of the ones that were contactable, 30% were infected compared to 35% of the contacts for the early latent cases. And then if you break that down just to look at the, you know, the infected contacts that were actually early syphilis cases, for contacts to primary and secondary index cases, 46% were stages primary and secondary compared to 48% for early latent. And it doesn't add up to 100 because the others are were of another stage of syphilis. And for early latent, we have 39%, so a slightly lower proportion that were primary and secondary compared to 55% that were early latent. So from one standpoint, that actually is what we expected. We expected the infected contacts of primary and secondary index cases to have a higher proportion of those contacts be primary and secondary cases. But what we didn't expect was that if you just look by numbers alone, the primary and secondary infected contacts for both primary and secondary index cases and early latent cases is essentially the same. And that means when we calculated the contact brought to treatment index, it was actually higher for early latent cases at 0.66 compared to 0.48. So our partner notification services of early latent index cases identified in this analysis greater than 50% of all the early syphilis infected contacts and 50% of all the primary and secondary infected contacts, which brings us to our overall conclusion, which is in North Carolina, we actually have to continue to follow up on early latent index cases or else we'd be in trouble. And I think moving forward, one of the things we need to think about, and I think something that may be going on, is that some of the primary and secondary cases may be misstaged as early latent because they're not having the clinical picture. So they're not finding the lesion or the rash that you need in order to classify someone as primary and secondary. But they do have the negative, syphilis test in the preceding 12 months. And, you know, we recently did an assessment of our local health department STD clinics the last year. Our technical assistant nurses went around and looked at the practices of our STD clinic nurses, and there's been a lot of inconsistencies with the way the exams are being done, and I don't think that they've changed, that the change in the exam has kept up with the changing demographic. And I'll give you an example that, you know, they're very used to examining the male genitalia as far as the penis and the testicles, but very few of them actually asked the men to bend over and looked at the rectum to look for chancres or did a good oral exam. And I think that might be why we're misclassifying some primary secondaries early latent, and it might explain why we got the numbers that we got. So I'm going to end there. I'm happy to take questions.
Thanks for that nice presentation. The early latent cases presumably had a longer duration of infection prior to treatment than the other people. Do you think that maybe part of what you're seeing is more spread cases from the early latents and perhaps a smaller number of spreads but more maybe source cases from the primary secondaries?
It's possible, and we probably could look at that just going back to see, you know, when they, the partners they named when they said the exposure occurred. It'd be a little difficult because their recall is a little suspect, but that may be part of it, too.
Roxanne Karani from the University of Washington. You mentioned that your DIS spend a lot of time driving patients mm-hmm. around and getting them treated. That made me wonder, what kinds of clinics are they being treated in, and are these the same clinics in which they're being diagnosed?
Yeah, a lot of times no. So they're mainly being treated in health department clinics. Even the private providers, when they diagnose the patient, a lot of them send them to the local health department to be treated. So they say, go to the local health department to get your bicillin. If they're not very familiar with syphilis, then they would prefer somebody else to deal with it. But a lot of the clinics don't actually hold bicillin. So if you're a private provider and you don't see these type of clients often, you don't actually have bicillin on hand. So
Right. And then how many health department clinics are there in the state?
101, between 101 and 105, but they vary in what they can and cannot do. So in some of the more rural counties, the STD clinic may not even be able to do a gram stain. I mean, so,
right.
But by law, all the STD clinics are supposed to be able to diagnose and treat for, you know, a number of STDs, including syphilis.
Thank you.
Morning, Mary Jo from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Any other clinics doing dark field, and if not, what's the issues around that?
Yeah, so we, in our recent assessment around the state, there was one clinic that had the equipment to do it, but no one trained. So there is, in our STD clinics now, there is no capacity to do dark field anymore, unfortunately. And a lot of the hospitals, unfortunately, don't do it. The bigger academic ones, but not the smaller community hospitals.
Hi, Kate Washburn from New York City. I noticed that your partner index was incredibly high, at least as compared to New York City.
I remember that was different because it wasn't all the infected. It was just the early syphilis.
But even just named partners, you had a lot. So, and I'm wondering, you know, for us, you know, there's been a trend with, as the syphilis cases are more and more MSM, we're getting more and more internet partners, more, you know, non-locatable partners. So I'm just wondering if you're struggling with that at all and sort of do you have any secrets for how your DIS are getting so many partners?
Yeah, no, we do struggle with that, and because of some of the issues with accessing some of those internet sites, being a state employee, we actually contracted with UNC, and we have a internet specialist there who, when we can't find them by typical DIS standards, we send the case to him, and he can go on all the sites. He sends messages. He texts the individuals, and we've gotten a really high return back from that. It would be nice if we could utilize that within the field services unit more so that more of the DIS could do that. But at this point, we do what we can.
I have a quick question. I was just wondering what the geographic distribution of your cases are, if it's mostly in, you know, concentrated in urban areas or if it's spread throughout the...
You know, I haven't looked at the syphilis, but I've looked at the HIV, and although the majority of our state is rural, two-thirds of our HIV cases are in the 15, within the 15 urban counties, and I suspect that our syphilis, given the comorbidity between the two, is like that as well.